Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Podcast Manager Show. Today, I'm talking to Jessica Skelton on how to leverage your client's website so you can boost their podcast visibility and profit. So we're going to talk about show notes and other ways that you can really use your client's website for the growth of the podcast. Jessica is a WordPress website designer turned course instructor who teaches new and inspiring web designers. She also took the Podcast Manager Jumpstart program, which was the first version of my course almost 2 years ago. So not only does she have a ton of knowledge on websites, but she also gets the podcast manager world. Let's go talk to Jessica. Hey there, I'm Lauren, and you're listening to the Podcast Manager Show, a podcast for podcast managers. Each week, we cover the technical and tactical aspects of running a profitable podcast manager business. With over 90,000 new shows starting each month, podcast managers are in demand. I mean, in demand. And I'm here to help you land your dream clients while reaching your monthly income goals and without working like crazy. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode. Hey, Jessica, I'm so excited to have you on the show today.
Hello, thank you for having me.
We are going to be talking about how to integrate our podcast with our website so we can boost visibility and profit. And I'm excited to hear what you have for us to share. But let's start with kind of how you got into online business. You and I have known each other for a while, so I'd love for you to share, you know, how you got to where you are.
Absolutely. So I started getting my foot into the online business space as a virtual assistant. You and I took the same VA route to get here. So after a couple months in the VA world, doing a little bit of everything, I pivoted my business to solely offering web design. And that is the very short and sweet version of how that went, because of course there were bumps in the road and pivot after pivot after pivot. But that is ultimately where I ended up in the website corner of the online business world. And then most recently, I've pivoted that service a little bit more to offer a course specifically for website designers teaching how to land consistent 3K plus web design clients without being overwhelmed by imposter syndrome.
Yeah, no, I love how we both have gone from like VA to niching down to something specific to now we're helping people that are like a step behind us do what we've been doing. Mm-hmm. And you took my podcast management course a long time ago.
Yes. Back in the day when I thought that was the thing that I was going to do, you know, pivot after pivot after pivot.
Yeah. Yeah. But you have such a good foundation of understanding how like podcasts can go with website development and, you know, getting people to your website and all of that. So I think you're like the perfect person to talk to us more about why we should be driving people from the podcast to a website. So let's dive into that. One of the big questions I get is show notes. Number one, like what are show notes? And I have to explain to people that, you know, you have an episode description. You can also have show notes that are on a website. So from your perspective as a web designer, why should we have show notes on our website in addition to that episode description?
Absolutely. So kind of taking it back a few steps, like having a business system means that your business systems have to connect. There's no point in having a podcast if it doesn't serve your business in some sort of way. There's no point in having a website if it doesn't serve your business in some sort of way. And something that I preach over and over and over again is website strategy, which obviously you guys preach, you know, podcast strategy in your end of the world, but the strategy has to be cohesive in making sure that it overlaps with the strategy of the other pieces of the business systems. I like to visualize it as a circle. Like the circle has to connect, and there's all these points around the circle. There's email marketing, there's your podcast, there's your website, there's networking, you know, all the things that are involved in making your business successful. They have to overlap. Your emails have to link to your podcast has to come onto your website has to send them over to your contact form, you know, all those things mm-hmm. that are going to get people into that funnel that everybody likes to talk about and make sure that they're going to the right place. So having those show notes, you know, they can be simple, they can be advanced, in depth, however that's going to come down. But those show notes really link together the podcast and the website.
Yeah, definitely. And the two things that I know we want to talk about today are how linking these two can boost our visibility and our profit. So how is it that it boosts our visibility and why is that important?
So there's two big points here. One is SEO and two is ad audiences, which I know we've talked about. You had somebody on your podcast before talking about Facebook ads, and Facebook ads are not, you know, that's not my expertise, but it again overlaps in that website world. So we're going to talk about that a little bit too. With SEO specifically, that kind of overlaps with that show notes piece because of two different reasons. One, you're going to see an increase in your site traffic when you're having more places for people to go, when you're promoting more things. So let's say that you have a podcast that publishes weekly and you're going to put it on your website weekly. And that's going to give you weekly prompts to post on all the social media channels, send it out to your email list, all those things that, again, are overlapping in your business systems. And more clicks, more views, that's going to boost your SEO. Google does not like websites that people don't go to, because what's the point of having an organically promoted website that no one likes, that no one goes to, that doesn't have good, valuable content? Google sees increased viewer counts as good, valuable content. And then on top of that, those show notes are more opportunities to integrate your keywords. So whatever your podcast topic is, whatever you're talking about, whether it's divorce or food or business, you know, whatever it is, it's more opportunities for you to integrate those keywords in your show notes to have search visibility on the search platforms on Google.
Yeah. So then let's say if someone were to be looking for a parenting coach, then they're going to Google like parenting coach. And because your client has a parenting coach podcast and their website, the person, the lead, is going to find them a lot easier because of all of those keywords and the SEO that you've built up from the podcast and the website.
Absolutely. And then, I mean, even going further down than that, when the podcast and even like blog posts are on your website, it's giving you more niche down topics. So speaking on parenting coaches, I'm getting ready to potty train my toddler. So I'm probably not going to be Googling parenting coach for the purpose of potty training my toddler, but I'm going to be Googling the heck out of how to potty train my toddler. And if some parenting coach out there has a podcast episode where they talked about potty training toddlers, then that's more likely to, you know, that's an opportunity for those specific keywords to come up on Google and for me to land on that person and listen to their podcast to learn how to potty train my dang toddler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, I feel you because you have a newborn. And you have a toddler, and I've been there. I guess I'm there right now. But one thing I wanted to point out was if someone were to directly find a podcast and they were to listen and they were to think, oh, well, what else is this podcast host doing? Then if they go to the episode description and there's no link to go anywhere, then they have to like go and search on Instagram or go search somewhere else for the podcast host, which is really inconvenient and maybe someone's not even going to do.
Absolutely. You want to make it really easy for people to find you and find your information and to constantly consume more. I don't know if you've read the book. I feel like every single podcast episode that I come on, I find an excuse to bring up this book. But I don't know if you've read the book, Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. But one of my favorite marketing strategies that he talks about in that book is having marketing, specifically websites, but marketing in general, that gives marry me and date me opportunities. So, you know, kind of going on that parenting coach trend, let's say, you know, my marry me is to hire me as a parenting coach. But then my, you know, if someone's not ready, like, I don't really know what a parenting coach does. I just found you. I don't know. I'm not really ready to invest in that yet. So you don't want to just tell them like, okay, like see you later when you're ready for me, because no one, especially parents, people don't remember things. Like, you know, we can't remember what happened 3 seconds ago. And there's so much information being blasted in our face, in our ears every 3 seconds. It's just going to go in one side of your brain and right out the other. Mm-hmm. But if you integrate those date me opportunities, like, I know you're not ready to hire me, but hey, go listen to my podcast. It's right here on my website. I have it handy. Like, you know, just click over to here. And then they're going to fall in love with that person and start to really realize what a parenting coach does, because the podcast strategy is going to kick in and they're going to learn all about that person and what they do and what their expertise is. So then 6 months later, now that I've been binging this podcast, I'm ready to hire them. I'm ready to marry them.
Yeah, I love that. So speaking of that, like when you're ready to hire someone or to marry them, how is blending the podcast with the website going to boost the sales or profit?
Absolutely. So what I specifically want to talk about is building ad audiences. But I mean, really, it comes in a variety of different ways. And that's a good thing because you want to be able to feel not salesy about your sales pitch. You know, you mm-hmm. want your clients to not feel salesy about their sales pitch. You want it to feel like it's coming at the best possible time. And one of the ways to do that is to have your ad audiences. So let's say going back on this parenting coach trend. So I am on their website reading about potty training. The way that the fancy techie things about like Facebook and Pinterest and all the places that you can run ads is you put this code on your website that makes a tick on that person's browser and marks them as Lauren has viewed my website. And then when that parenting coach is ready to run an ad, they can choose to run it to people that have been on their website. So it's going to pull all those people that have that special tag on their browser that says that they've been there. Then it's going to give them my offer. So let's say that I'm going to read that potty training blog and then I get tagged. And then, you know, a week later I get offered an ad and I recognize the name because I've just binged their podcast for the last week. And I know that they're an expert on potty training and I know that they're an expert on toddlers. And I see their ad for potty training on toddler course. It's perfect. It's exactly mm-hmm. what I needed. I didn't know that I needed it, but it's exactly what I needed because I've been trying to consume this information and haven't started yet, then I'm ready to buy. So it's increasing that traffic because you're giving more opportunities for people to come into these ad audiences and get served the sales pitch at the right time.
Yeah, it's so powerful. Sitting in that example, you know, of like when you just make a quick little Google search of how do I X, Y, and Z, and then you realize, oh, this person does exactly what I'm looking for. I'm going to listen to their podcast. I'm going to follow them on Instagram. I'm going to do all these things. And then, oh, 2 days later, you're getting ads. 3 days later, you're buying. 4 days later, you know, it's just, it all works so well. And I think in the future, there will be a way for Facebook ads to integrate directly into podcast platforms. So like directly mm-hmm. into Apple Podcasts. So when you just download an episode, you get tagged. But as of now, that's not a thing. So we have to pull our listeners to another location, like Instagram or a website, for them to get tagged so that we can then serve them ads later on. And or we haven't even talked about this, but by also pulling someone to the website, we can show them our opt-in.
Mm-hmm. And then you can run email subscribers as an ad audience as well as promoting the offer on the email list.
Exactly.
This is such a big topic. It's so hard to like keep it to just websites or podcasts because like it's all a circle. It all yeah. comes together.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like you can think of podcasts as such a silo and people tell me all the time like, oh, it's such a niche. And I'm like, yes, but it works in conjunction. For it to make sense from a money standpoint, it has to work in conjunction, like you said, with all of these other business pieces.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just out there doing nothing for you.
Yeah, which then it's a hobby podcast, which that can serve its own purpose. But most podcasters want to build something out of the podcast that they started.
And who doesn't want to get paid to do their hobby?
Yeah, don't be ashamed of that.
Right.
So Jessica, let's just kind of take a step back and give our listeners some action steps on like for all of these systems to work together, what do we need to make sure that our clients have?
So in order for all this to work and for that wheel to keep turning, for things to overlap, and specifically for your podcast to overlap with your website, you need those podcast episodes on the website. And sometimes people, you know, you're kind of going to have to take inventory of what your client already has. And if this isn't something that you're already doing with a specific client, it may take a little bit of research on their website because you might not have been on their website in a while. So if they have an active blog, you'll have to marry both the podcast and the blog together. And there's many different ways. I'm not going to dive into like the developmental part of the website of how to do that, but you know, you'll have to decide whether or not they live on the same in the same area. Many people do that. They just have like a blog and podcast page and it's all together and that's great, fine and dandy. Some people split them, or, you know, a lot of people feel like they had to have a blog when they started their website and then like wrote 3 blog posts and then never touched it again because they found out that they hated blogging. So, you know, maybe it's time to just scrap that content and just turn it into a podcast page. And then, so that's where kind of the language gets a little confusing, because the podcast will function as a blog. It will live on the blog archive page. Your actual like episode content will live on a blog post page. And it gets like, sometimes clients get hung up on that. Even, you know, as a website designer, speaking in website terms to my website clients, they still don't get it sometimes, and like how those things can coexist. So you'll have to have an archive page, which is where all of those episodes live. So if you're going to your favorite blogger, favorite podcast person, and you're going to their website and viewing all of their content, what you're most likely looking at is their archive page. Mm-hmm. And then you'll also need to know how to publish that podcast episode as a blog post. And that, you know, that kind of can get a little situational depending on if, like I said, if they already have a blog post, what that looks like. Do you need to categorize it? Can you skip that? How does that get pulled to the right information? But just bare minimum, you're going to have that archive page up on their website. You can call it a podcast page, even though it functions as a blog archive. And then you'll need to know how to post the blog post.
Yeah. In the Podcast Manager program, we go into detail on how to do this on WordPress websites. But from not a web designer perspective, like you said, you can just kind of take over their blog page and just make some tweaks and you're good to go. So that can be kind of a straightforward way of doing it. But if you're like, you know what, I just do not want to even have to learn this. You know, I don't want to have to mess around with this at all of getting it set up. Then, you know, you can always outsource it to someone like you, Jessica.
Absolutely. So, like I mentioned, I have a program specifically for website designers, and they understand the back end work of doing this, how to get that embed code on there, to put the player on there, how to bring over the show notes and hyperlinks and all the things. And I have a hire form, www.jessicaskelton.com/hire. where you can fill out a form to outsource that. Because sometimes, you know, even though you are more than capable of figuring it out, you just might not want to. And, you know, it just doesn't feel like your zone of genius. And by all means, outsource that.
Yeah. I know from whenever I would do this with my clients, it was like I knew just enough to flip things around. And I would be honest with them, like, hey, I can get this set up, but we might need to use your web designer. And if they didn't have one, then I would just have done exactly what you just said. So there's, you know, you might just have a limit where you're like, this is what I can do. And if I run into a snag, then I'm not doing anything else. I'm going to ask for someone's help.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, you can follow the directions, but God forbid something go wrong. Like, then what do you do?
Yeah.
Like I said, not your zone of genius. And really, it has always served me well to work with other service providers in that capacity because of how things overlap. Like I've had podcast friends that I work with on certain clients refer me to people that need websites and vice versa. I've had website clients that decide, I want to do a podcast, and I refer them to that podcast person that I'm so used to working with. And especially because it's so comforting to build that rapport of knowing like this person's going to email it to me this way and that's how I like it. And then I can just go from there and get the information that I need. It's really helpful to build those relationships in the online business space. And it's lonely out here. So, you know, it's sometimes it's nice to feel like you have those, for lack of better terms, coworkers.
Yeah. Oh, I so agree. I love talking with other people that are like in my same shoes, but doing a slightly different thing. Even you and I, you know, it's like if you and I wouldn't have gone into like the course creating space, instead we started to build more of like podcast strategist and web design, web strategist, and we were to move up that way, we could have talked about how we were working with clients and how we were landing higher end clients. It's like just knowing people that are in the same shoes as you, but maybe just in a different niche, is so powerful for so many reasons.
And it really just lets you get out of your own head, like even about just silly things. Like you and I had that call a couple weeks ago. We were just, you know, just chatting about whatever, how things are going in our business, and just simple things that you can say that I'm like, why didn't I think of that? Like, you know, that was so smart and so easy. And it just saved me like hours off of my week, because otherwise I would have just kept my head down and kept doing it how I was doing it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And just mindset stuff of like, oh, well, I couldn't possibly ask my client this or that. And you're like, yeah, you can. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, like, oh gosh, community is just
like, I just did that yesterday. Right. It was fine.
Right. Oh gosh. Yeah. Boundaries and client communication, I think, can be tricky, and you need other people in your corner to be able to say, hey, am I asking too much? Am I, you know, is this an appropriate boundary? And having other service-based, like you said, coworkers essentially is powerful.
For sure. I hope everybody takes this and, you know, go hunt down your client's website, figure out if they already have it on there. And if they don't, pitch that as part of your service, you know, whether that looks like an increase in your monthly revenue for just doing something that's going to take a couple of minutes, but it's going to boost their visibility and their profit. Hopefully this information helps you be able to pitch that to them, because it is an advantage that they can play in their corner in a super easy way.
Yeah. And you mentioned Pinterest. So you could even, there, I know a lot of people, not a lot, but there's a handful of women in my course that do podcast and Pinterest, because with your show notes on your website or on your, you know, your client's website, they can then put together Pinterest pins and link the show notes to Pinterest. Once again, it's just creating that circle of different ways that people can find you and linking all of your content together. So there's a lot of ways that you can expand your services as a podcast manager so that you're helping with Pinterest as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Okay, Jessica, this has been very, very helpful. I hope that everyone listening is like, okay, yes, this makes sense of why we need to be getting our podcast onto the website. Where can everyone find you so they can follow you?
So I am hanging out a little bit of everywhere. My website directly, you can find me at jessicaskelton.com or on all of the social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest. I think that's it. I don't do Twitter. I don't have the stream of consciousness thought to handle Twitter, but on all of those other places, my handle is jessicaskeltonva.
Okay, that sounds awesome. And everyone, you can get the link to your hire form that you mentioned. You can get that on the show notes when you're ready to hire a web designer to help you with your clients.
Perfect.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Come connect with me over on Instagram at Lauren Wrighton or in the Podcast Manager Mastermind on Facebook. And let me know what you liked about this episode. You can always find the links and resources mentioned in this show over at laurenwrighton.com. Until next time, I'll be cheering you on.